In verse number 24, then Jesus said to his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verse 28 says, verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man come in his kingdom. And we've been talking about a series called Kingdom Alignment. Y'all with me? So we've been talking about how the church has to begin to get aligned with the kingdom so that we can begin to build what God is building in the earth. Because we know that God is not building buildings. He's not building businesses alone. God is into building people to become more like him. And those things like businesses and things will come. But we're talking about how we got to get aligned with the kingdom. And a few weeks ago, we talked about how, you know, you got to get rid of this carnal thinking. Are y'all with me? Y'all remember that? How you got to deal with the carnal thinking. I think it was last Wednesday that if you're going to align yourself with the kingdom, you got to stop debating things that the world is doing, and then you're still wrestling with what God is saying. If you watch television, whatever you do, when you sense God saying, this is not right, this is not the way to do it, then you just have to change it. You don't battle in your mind to tell God, oh, well, how is this going to happen, and this is what normal people do. No, carnality creeps in when you try to take on things that you are not ready for. Comes through television, wrong association. Well, it's my cousin. You just want me not to talk to my cousin? Jesus said this, let the dead bury the dead. No man is fit for the kingdom unless you're willing to go all the way with God. But then we sit and we wrestle with stuff, people. And we talked about how if you're going to get aligned with the kingdom, you've got to do away with this carnal thinking. Stop your thinking. You got to change your mind. You did this way, but you can change it. Why? Because I'm coming into something new, so I got to look at things differently. This is why we all come into the same way of thinking. The kingdom culture is when you stop thinking the way I've been brought up and then say, I'm going to come into something new, so I've got to think differently so that I can embrace what God has fully for me. And we talked about how the carnal thinking is working against the spirit man. And that's where most people conflicts. All our minds and then our spirit man. Our spirit man will be saying, do this. The spirit is always pure. Your mind will try to get it where it cages in the spirit. It cages it in. And you don't do it. It's like David and Goliath when David had to go and they tried to put all this stuff on him. He said, man, take this stuff off me. I'm going with what I know. And this is what we've got to begin to do as we begin to dethrone the carnal thinking in our mind. When it comes to relationship, when it comes to money, when it comes to every area of your life, you've got to begin to say, you know what? I'm going to change my thinking. I've got to stop thinking like this. I got to renew my mind. So that I can know what is the good things of God for my life. Other than that, you're not going to ever receive God fully. You know what happens when you don't really change your thinking? You look for a good service. And it's like an addiction. Oh, they got revival over there. I'm going over there. Prophet so-and-so over there. Let's go over here. Oh, I get a word over here. Let me go over here. Why? Because you're thinking as you're thinking. You just need an injection of God. God wants to build your life. What good of us going in here talking we're going to take the city and we can't even pay our bills? I'm talking about over a period of time. We all learn it. I'm not saying you just get there or you come into church like that. But I'm talking about 10 years and we still struggle, still not adjusting. That doesn't make any sense. You know why that happens? Because of carnal thinking. Same thing tripping you up. Why? Because of carnal thinking. You with me? We also talked about on Sunday the power of a consecrated life. That's how you're going to get yourself aligned to the kingdom. Consecrate yourself. Set yourself apart. Many of us don't do that. You know why? Because we're just in the hustle and the bustle. Just, hey, I got to do this. And how many times I told you that most American churches, we think we are doing something because we're busy. Because we're just doing something. Feeding the poor. The hungry. You know, some of you, if we go and do the nursing home or do whatever, some of us, we feel so good doing that, we think that's God building in us. You can do many people in that day. We'll say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied? That's the same person gave you the word from God. And God gonna say, depart from me, you a worker of iniquity. Why are you calling my works dead when I'm doing your works? See, the false church is like that. They're deteriorating from the inside, but the outside looks real glassy. They're pretty. They can hold a mic and they can dress nice. They can talk about praise and worship conferences and all this stuff they can talk about. But down on the inside, they're rotting. Why? Because they don't know God. The Bible says those that know their God, they'll do exploits. We can't know God and the city stay the same. We can't know God and your life stays the same. When you know God, things start to happen. And you have to gauge your own life. Where are you? If you're dead and in and out of your spiritual walk is because that's what you choose to do. The power of a consecrated life, we said, will allow you to put your priorities in perspective. You set yourself apart. When you set yourself apart, you say, guess what? God, I'm going to keep you first. I'm going to put you first so that you can stay first. Because there's something in the water that you drink, in the sense of the world's water, that if you get involved in it, it'll take you like a curve. It'll just pull you away like you're on a beach. And consecration, you're looking at the world like, that's the world, this is the church. This is right, this is wrong. That's error, this is truth. But when you're not consecrated, you'll never align yourself with the kingdom. You know why some of you are not able to embrace the concepts of what I'm teaching sometimes? It's because you're not consecrated. You've got your eyes on the world. You see Jesus one way. Oh, I'm going to grow one day. And some of you put yourself on these little patty cake growth stages. Oh, I'm growing. Just give me a little, I just want a little seat down there by the little onion creek and I'll drink the water. Lord, just help me. And I'll just keep coming along. If God will just stay with me. That's the dead mentality. Why? Because that's what you say. According to your faith. God said, when Jesus came to the earth, he gave everything. When we sold out to God, it ain't no such thing as you somewhat in and all this stuff about backsliding and going this way. No, you're in or you're out. You're with God or you're not. Consecration will let you see that. When you don't consecrate yourself, you'll be going running around the conferences saying, this is nice. Oh, we just left Joyce Myers, and it was nice. Joel Osteen, it was nice. This was nice. They got a beautiful flowers in the background. And that's fine, but that ain't the church. But if you don't consecrate yourself, you'll see yourself right in the midst of that. Jack of all trades, master of none. 10 years go down in your life, and you ain't got nothing to show for it, and you sitting there still thinking the Lord gonna make a way. 10 years. You don't plant nothing and don't see something first, the blade. When you don't see that blade, season have passed, you say, well, something killed my seed. Let me go back and plant some more seed. You don't sit there like the false church waiting on something when there's no fruit. They don't see nothing. They're just holding on. Why? Because there's no consecration. You don't set yourself apart, you'll be just like everybody else. You got to say, listen, I'm different from that because I don't want to go there. I don't like that. I want to be somebody with the spirit of truth, living this thing out. I may not be perfect, but the spirit of truth is inside me, growing in me. And see, over a period of time, just like bad habits, good habits begin to compound. See, we always talk about bad stuff and sin and all that. But imagine you praying in tongues for hours and start compounding. Your stature will begin to grow in the spirit realm. And that thing comes down on you. But if you don't consecrate yourself, you'll be looking for something, thinking, well, God, when you going to bless me? I'm not looking for no blessing. I am already blessed. The blesser is in me. Don't tell me I'm going, and then we confine our whole Christianity like the false church to material stuff, to things we can get from God. No, I want to become like God. I want his nature and character in me. I don't just want him for his hand. That's immaturity that we've got to begin to come off of. Are you with me? So we talked about the power of consecration, and tonight I want to just exhort you along the lines of self-denial. Self-denial. Because if you're going to come into the kingdom now, I'm not talking about you just want to be in the mix, but if you're going to really get this thing and bring it down home and go into the nations in the sense of let God use you as stature in the kingdom and stop wrestling with the things of this world, if you're going to do that, self-denial got to be there. We read right here where he says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. This is the door to salvation. But you know why this is not the door to salvation now, Carla? Because most people preach salvation. And the way they preach it, the way they preach salvation, is God going to bless you. But you can't come to God any old kind of way. You got to give it up. And this is why the church is so crippled now, because people come in and get saved because they got caught. Instead of saying, Lord, I'm giving it all to you. And most of us struggle with that. You know why? Because you ain't giving it all up. In the kingdom, you got to say, if I die, let me die. Literally, I'm going to see the king. If I perish, let everything happen, because I'm gonna be with the Lord forevermore. But see, when you don't think like that, you wrestle with it. You know why? Because of self-denial. Any man that want to come after me, let him deny himself. Are you with me? An unrenewed mind will always be the thing that God uses, or the devil uses, I should say, to begin to pull you back into an undisciplined life. An unrenewed mind. Because you know you got to be disciplined. You know that. God could speak to you. He could have plans for you. But if you're not somebody who can self-deny yourself, you're not going to be worth nothing. Paul said this. He said, I keep my body under subjection, lest when I preach, I become a castaway. He didn't say, I put my body. It's a constant beating. We live in the flesh. But the flesh is not you. And this is what many of you have got to realize, because in the days ahead, as you begin to deny yourself, you're going to see your flesh walking, and you're going to have to pull it back. You're going to see it. Don't be surprised what it is. Because that's another thing the false church can't handle. Somebody, you could kill somebody. If things start coming out of your flesh as your spirit man rises, and here you are judging yourself like, ooh, look at me. That's your flesh. The real you is the spirit of you. You see a little attitude. You see all these things. The thing you got to do is begin to separate yourself. Say, that ain't me. Just because you drive the car don't mean the car is you. You just control it. Still can go out of control, but you got to control that flesh. And most of Christianity here in America is denying themselves. Preachers get on TV, God start to work a little bit, then they start thinking too much. Then they get up and say, well, let me start. I've seen preachers start clothesline in the church. Know the people going to do what they say, but they start manipulating people like, yeah, y'all need to go over here and get this. What is that? When you up here, this is the gospel. They start manipulating you with things. And they, you know, same thing happens in businesses. Why? Because people start thinking, but they start tooting their horn. Anytime you toot your own horn, you're going to get the tune too loud. It'll always be too loud. Because you thinking it's you. Oh, we do this and God is in this. Oh, don't do that. People can watch and see. You know, since we left Isaac, the network, I've seen pastors begin to call and take counsel from me, not because I say, well, I'm Impact Church and we believe God. Just let them see. The ones that have come here and have seen what God is doing has said something is going on here. Pastor Mario Kimball, y'all remember him? When he was talking about the, he never been on the radio. Called me today, say he on the radio now. Wanted to get advice and stuff. I couldn't get in contact with him last week, but he's on the radio in Atlanta now. Say, man, I just listened to you, and I saw what God was doing. I knew I had to tag along because this is what God put in me. But being there that weekend, it began to stir me. But see, if you start tooting your own horn, you get it too loud. We're nothing without Christ. We humble ourselves. Are you with me? But see, if you don't understand that you got to deny yourself, your unrenewed mind will bring you back. How many of y'all know spiritual people, but they have no discipline? No control. In the world system, you got to have discipline. People give you 10 minutes to talk. Don't go 12 and think God really worked. I'd be like, sit down, man, because you show no self-control. They didn't ask you to preach, and you up here preaching. They just ask you to do the prayer, and then you taking it. Let God open up a door. You don't push yourself into stuff like that. Why? Because it shows that you have no restraints. Shows that you just go. You just let it all out and let it go. No. I got restraint. If you're going to function and align yourself to the kingdom, you got to realize that we're in this kingdom and it's not about us. So we got to listen to the king and get acquainted with the way he wants things to be done. So when it comes to church, when it comes to how you deal with your children, when it comes to your finances, what does the king have to say about this? Not how I see it and all my limitations you start bringing up to God and what you don't have. You got to say, Lord, if this is the way you say to do it, this is the way I'm going to do it. And you discipline yourself in line of what you got to do. See, I know a lot of Christians that we lose it here. Because we don't deny ourselves. We don't take nobody in and start discipling nobody. Why? Because we're too selfish. Well, it's my day here. What about God? What about what God wants? Are you living for you or God? You can't water somebody and you not get watered. But some of us, well, you know, take time for. There's truth in that, but not to the point where you just don't do nothing for nobody all week long. You taking times for yourself all the time. How can we call ourselves Christians, but we don't show nobody Christ? Nobody comes to eat at your house. You don't bless nobody. You don't try to do no service to nobody. You just come to church and keep hearing about the apostolic. How many know that has to change? See, when you self-deny yourself, you say, I'm going to put in my budget $10 a month, $15, $20 where I can bless somebody else. where I could take somebody else to lunch. Why? Yes, you can do things with that. But you begin to deny yourself. Are y'all with me? And if you're going to align yourself with this kingdom, you got to be disciplined in self-denial. You know, every time I go to a men's conference, I always talk about the same thing, being a real man of God. And I start talking about things like lust, things that you know that you are dealing with as a man. And you know this. Ain't nobody got to tell you. You got to conquer that. But that's no devil. That's not no devil. And you want to say, I really know. It's control. Restraint. Saying I can see something good, but that don't mean I can have it. See, when you're in the kingdom, you're going to see people. You're going to see people be blessed. People in different leagues, they're running ahead of you, behind you. But you got to say, I'm here to serve the king. I'm not here to look at the person on the left and the right. I'm not here to compare what I got with what they got. See, you disqualify your own self like that. You deny yourself and you stay focused. Those of you that have ever run track, you know when you get out on them blocks and you go down, if you look to the left, you know how short I was? If I used to look to the left or the right, sometimes, Maxine, them boys, their legs were longer than my body. And I'd be like, man, I can't. These guys here done got. So I had to just stay focused. Stay focused. Because my job is not to compete with them, like try to beat them out. My job is to maximize my potential. See, that's a difference. The competing will just happen. But you get down there and you don't look. You just stay focused, waiting on that gun to go so you can take off. I still never won. Never won in a track meet. But I say that because if you don't have a renewed mind, you'll sit there and you'll let yourself just go. TV. Talking to people. You talk about something. I taught a message years ago on Mother's Day. What was the name of it, Anthony? No, that wasn't Mother's Day. That wasn't. No, it was talking about 10 things that it's very hard for people to keep quiet with. When your children do stuff good, you want to talk. When things are going on in your life, you just want to blab about it. But sometimes you have to hold it like Joseph did. Some of y'all have gotten in trouble because you're talking too much to people. There's no self-control. You just want to know. Artists, you just can't wait. So you create your own door instead of waiting until God do it. And you mess stuff up because you want to tell them your heart is just bleeding. You got to tell, go ahead, it's just going to hurt you. You give them swine. That scripture becomes real when you do that. You know they can't handle it. You start talking to them because you have no restraint. Like, I can't talk to them about that, so I'm not going to do it. You know that off the bat, but you get into a conversation with mama or daddy, and you just feel like, oh, they care. No, they care, but they don't have the spiritual. And you dropping something on them, and they're going to drop that old seed, that old doubt seed on you. And you thinking they're all warm and loving until you say something off, and the devil uses them to try to get in you. And here you are going home fighting off. Well, mama, how can I get it? Look at it. I ain't telling them nothing. Why? Because you got to go forward. You show restraint. Are you with me? You show discipline. That's not something. That's a learned behavior. That's not something you pray for. You just do it. I didn't say don't splurge sometime. You know, if you're on a diet or whatever you do, I'm not talking like that. I'm not saying don't eat and don't go to the extreme with me. But I'm talking about spiritual things. If you're carrying something, you can't just talk to people. You just can't let them just, you know, you opening up and telling people, how in the world are you talking to somebody about Malaysia when they can't even speak in tongues? Does that make any sense? When they never left the block and here you are spilling your guy. Yeah, well, Dr. David, Lord knows don't show him the picture of a foreign person. They're not going to see all. They're going to be thinking you're crazy. But you got ministry. Let me tell you what I'm doing. And good God, you got to show restraint. Talk to them like that. Be able to go around people and hold something. Keep a secret. How many of you can keep a secret? Can you hold the treasures of God? God said, listen, I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to whisper this in your ear. But I don't want you to tell nobody because the world really ain't ready for you yet. But I can trust you because you got an incubator on the inside. You're worshiping me. You're praising me. But the world is not ready for it. But guess what? I'll begin to do what I need to do because there's going to be a set time for the world to see what I'm doing. But I need to hide my glory in some of my people. Need to hide some of my treasures because the timetable is not yet. Some of you give pearls to the swine. People, you got to gauge them. Where are they? Just because they're your boss don't mean that they got superiority over your life. And some of you, y'all actions, y'all give those people that. You don't kiss up to people. You don't go and try to get accolades. Listen, if God ain't giving it to me, I don't want it. I'm not looking. I'm not here to confer with flesh and blood. This is bigger than that. God is greater than that. We don't come serving a man. See, when you're in the kingdom, you got to be self-denying. Because if you're not, God can't use you but so much. Are you with me? And I mean, God wants to use us, but that's self-denial. You got to be able to do that. When God say fast and pray, he telling you that individually, go ahead and do it. If he say, I want you to give this to somebody or do away with this, don't you know most of the time when it comes to giving, God wants you to give not for you to release something inside of you. It takes something away. God's trying to get something out of you because of how you see what you're giving. But if you're not self-denying, God cannot really use you in the kingdom. You think about yourself, your children, nobody else. You consume all of your life with your children. And when somebody come, you say, well, I got my kids and they're growing. How many know that gets old after a while? Where's the kingdom arising? Because you're self-denying. I can do more. No matter where you at in your life, God says you can hold more for him. Are you with me? So again, an unrenewed mind will be the tool that the enemy uses to keep you from being disciplined. Just stop. People call it prayer. You know, most of the time when it comes to fornication, homosexuality, drinking, smoking, it's just flesh. People say it's devil. It takes a while for a devil to get on you. It does. Devils just don't jump on you. Most of the time when people say devils, it's their mind. A carnal thinking. It attracts devils. Devils just don't come on. You got to change your thinking. Because just like God can bless and leave, devils can do something and leave. But some of us, we think, you know, well, I can get God, but the devil come along. You got to be able to do what you know to do in your flesh, and devils will just run. Because you got a pattern of thinking like God, and it begins to change your thinking. Are y'all with me? Are y'all really understanding what I'm saying? You know, because if we don't do this, y'all, we're just playing church. Self-denial. You know what makes a marriage strong, Tika? Is it not the fact that, oh, I'm going to be right with my husband. It's the fact that when you was in the mall, you passed all these other men you could have went with. You could have done everything you want to, but you passed them to go there. Because of your will, because of your self-restraint. Discipline. God don't want us to be robots. You marry him, so you just do it, go here. No, he give you choice. Your restraints will help define who you are. What can you be among and hold yourself together? Or would you let it? The day will come where the church, you got to be able to look at sin and say, I ain't doing that. We can't be no dead churches talking testimony. Well, I came out of drugs, but I got to stay out of Acabee. I'm going to see my aunt. That don't mean every time I go around it, I'm going to do it. You start off like that, but you get stronger where you whip it. Because you got self-discipline in place. You say, I can't do that. I can look at it, but I can't do it. My flesh may be going, but that ain't the real me. That's just flesh, man. But I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm not moved by that voice of that feeling that's coming from the flesh. See, that's where the false church don't got no restraint. So they start going all in the world and start letting stuff go. Business church, secret sensitive, all this stuff is because flesh is out of control. They want that, give it to them. Democrats. Whatever the people want, give it to them. How can you be a leader and you letting people tell you when these people don't know? A leader doesn't do that. You gotta hear from God. In God we trust in America. So we hear God, then we do what's right. But see, when you don't have no self-restraint, you care about what people think. You can't restrain yourself. Forget about what people are saying. We don't live for people. How many know people don't have a heaven or hell to put us in? And people can't stop what God is doing. They can't stop it. I don't care what business they got. We're not all into their money and Donald Trump because he's rich and can pay for pads. Look here, that's okay. That's his area. God may bless us, but we're not. These Christians are saying, when God bless us, I hate hearing this. When God bless us, we're going to give to the church. Do like your money going to change you. When you get more money, the false church has replaced Christ being formed with education. Just get an education. If your child make it all good, that's it. That's all they got to do. That's a part of it. But what about their character? Church, they ain't even concerned about that. They ain't even interested in that. You know, yesterday, or whatever day, Tuesday it was, yesterday, I was in Columbia, and we went by Allen University, which is an AME college, and as I saw the people smoking, that's a church college. And it's just like, you know, it's more pants sagging. It's just like, hey, I guess the president says, who's young, I guess he just figured, hey, this is a church, and we just, you know, we can't conform that. We're giving them the best education. It's okay for the world to do that, but where the church is different. Make them pull up his pants. Tell them they can't come to school if they're smoking. I mean, what's wrong with saying that if we the church? If we find out that you're fornicating, you're getting out of the school. I mean, what's up with that? We just don't have no standard. Well, and then you got church people say this with no restraint. Well, you know you're human. Or you do like girl, like most of them women say, sometimes Tika say, well, you know I got needs. That's what they say. I got needs. Why? Because no self-restraint. Just can't hold yourself. Your mind tell you, I got to have this way. You don't have no self-restraint. And then they want to pray. It ain't no prayer. Close and go home. Stop and leave. Go this way. Stop talking on the phone so much. Well, you know every woman, every man, you know when things get out of whack. You know when your emotions are just kind of like, oh, man, I don't know where I'm at. Let me just try to. You know when that point is. But in the church, just get an education. Never mind your character. And we have nothing to leave our children with because they don't have the capacity of Christ to hold it. So when another generation go down, guess what? Everything is wasted. Strategies are building while the church is just sitting there saying, well, we gotta. And then you have people to raise up and we got to fight through to get where we could have just somebody passed the baton. That's what legacy is all about. We don't want our children to be going through what we went through. We'll fight those devils. We'll beat them so that they can march through and face their generation devils. But if we don't have no restraint, we'll be saying, well, I just come to church to be blessed. This ain't no bless me club. There's something going on in us. Nations are calling us. Why? Because we know what's happening in the spirit realm. It's not natural. You don't have no self-restraint. You just want to be blessed. Everything is about you. Every day. Because you're not growing. Are you with me? So again, let me give you a few things that will help you to be more disciplined. Are you with me? These are just things that will help you to be more disciplined. Discipline is always a choice. And like I say, don't be critical of each other and say, well, this is the way. You don't just be there. You start. I mean, I'm the pastor. I got areas that I got to work on when it comes to discipline. So don't feel like you know, oh, I'm so far. Everybody be saying, me too. So we're talking to everybody, but you got to be a person in the kingdom as you align yourself to come out of the church and match the church with the kingdom. You got to be a person that shows some restraint. You know, if my wife didn't trust me to be around women, and kiss Maxine, you know, where's the restraint? I mean, what you going to do, have somebody there all the time? At some point, if that's your problem, it's going to come out. It's going to come out. So the thing is, you got to deal with it. How? You don't need prayer. You just got to restrain yourself. You know when you go places where something is going on, where the waters are different, you change it. Are you with me? Number one, if you're going to be more disciplined, you got to begin to see yourself the way God sees you. How does that help you? Because the more you see yourself the way God sees you, you know you can be disciplined. See, a lot of times we always talk about what are the bad effects if you're not disciplined. But man, you know, when you show restraint, I remember going in the barbershop and them guys start throwing stuff at me. And when you leave and don't say nothing, you leave them like, man, you just left us. You leave them wondering. They think because you're a preacher or you're a Christian, you're supposed to answer all the questions. I don't know, man. You finish? I get with y'all. Yeah, but, you know, I was trying to see because in the Bible it says, well, probably somebody else, man. I'll talk to you later. And leave them. They start wondering, like, why isn't he one of these old prophets that want to try to prove the problems and talk people through stuff? Because he knows his realm in the spirit. He knows how to be kingdom oriented. He knows that in the kingdom you cannot lift nobody up. He knows in the kingdom you ain't the savior. Unless the Lord draw them in, nothing you can do. So your job is to identify when God is at work in people. See, a mature Christian can realize God is working and take their hands off. But when you always want to be the prayer person on the job, I'm not praying for nobody. I don't like it. Because it's always prayer. I'm not praying for you. I'm going to speak a word to you. Because that's like a religious thing that people want. And I'm not saying you don't pray from time to time, but not this religion. Because you look at people, when you know they don't go to church and they're religious, you need to get them out of that prayer stuff. Come to church. Say, listen, God is about to do something. As Christ is being formed, talk about the ingredients of the church. They'll see the church. But see, if you don't know who you are in God, you're not going to be self-disciplined. Self-discipline means I can walk through the valley of the shadow of death, but I fear no evil. You're disciplined. I'm going to stay focused. Evil on the left and the right, but I'm staying focused. I'm in this world, but I'm not of this world. And then, you know, you got to be able to do that. Are you with me? And if you're not able to do that, then you're really not going to be disciplined. See yourself as a disciplined person. You know, you feel better about yourself when you're disciplined. You do. You feel good when there's time restraints. You know, and I know y'all have heard me say this before, but there'll come a day. Well, I'm not going to be able to talk to you as much because of the people. Now I got to go with another group of people. But I don't want you to feel like I don't love you, Paul. Because we got to spread. I got to impart into these people so they can get it, so we can be stronger in what we're doing. But how am I going to do that? Restraint? I'm working on it now because I feel so overwhelmed with stuff. But I got to say, you know what? I got to restrain. I can't go in the nursing home all day long because it's taken. So how can I come in and do the best impartation and then come back out? Where are my strengths? Why? Because I know who I am. When you know who you are, you can do that. You said, no, I don't have to go down here and be handing out hot dogs and say, well, we're trying to get pastors together. Well, I can't do that. You know, one guy told me the other day from our old church, and he want me to go to the prison and getting upset if I don't go to the prison. Hey, man, just because I'm a pastor don't mean I got to go visit your son. There's a lot of ministers there. And don't you know they get mad in the denominational church if the preacher don't go? You don't come see them when you're in the hospital? And they just running tests on you. And you want me to be coming. Just because you did, well, Rev didn't come. And you know, that's just games, man. Why? Because there's no self-restraint. I have to do it, you have to do it. But when you know who you are, you feel confident and people can't pull you into things. Well, we've been trying to get people, but nobody would help. Okay. Well, add my name to the list because I can't do it. You know, we was coming out the door that one day, I don't know which day, Anthony was in here. I made fun of him because I was walking out the door here. I don't know which day it was. And Mary, I don't know if y'all was here or not, but anyway, the guy came to the door, and he came here, and he had a prescription. He needed drugs. He said, man, I'm going from church, and I need $102 for these prescriptions. I said, well, go talk to Minister Anthony over there. He'll be able to help you over there. And I pulled off in the van. You know, because now, you know, we do not inform like that. And some people say, well, the church is, well, no, you won't get me. Oh, I mean, we just can't, we don't save the world. This is a guy you already discerned went in the phone book and went straight down. Looking for who's not who can help, but who's gullible. So here he come in here and he doing that, but Minister Anthony told him what to do. I don't know what Anthony told him. He had to leave. In other words, but I say that because if you don't show no restraint, you'll be here. You won't cut things off. I can't save the world. I can't do that. You can't do that, but self-restraint will let you be good at what you do, and you'll come back out. Are y'all with me? Now, let's give an example of our church. I'm a good, I'm an overseer, but I can't do details. So what? I got to be a person that come in and impart, spend time with you, because that's my strength at. Correcting, embracing you, loving on you, so you know, connected, and correcting what God is doing in you, help you. But for me to be coming in here answering phones all day, all the time, it throws me off. So what do? You set things up so that you can be disciplined at what you're good at, so that you don't get pulled away, because don't you get stressed out when you're doing things that you don't want to do. When you're on a job that you don't want to be on, that's when the problems start. But when you get a job that you really want to do and it's in your heart, guess what? You'll say, I'll go out fighting with this. I don't care. I'll do it. And don't you know, you don't even have to get paid for it when you're doing what's inside of you. You don't worry about money. Money will come. Are you with me? Let me give you another thing that you got to do to help you to be more disciplined. Be real with yourself. Stop making unrealistic views. Remember we talked about that, Carla? We got to be real. Stop being around. When you got issues, you got issues. Just talk. If something dealing with you, you can't be going around the bitch and saying, oh, well, I'm in church. I don't want them. Listen, you can come any old kind of way. It's how you leave. See, nobody can grow if there's not an environment of love for them to do that. See, the false church want to kill the wounded because they find out Shamika said this. But love will see her for where she's going and say, no, we're not going, that's not God. But most of the time, God has already dealt with her. So all we do is say, that's all right, we're growing anyway. That's what happens in a real church. Mommy was smoking drugs. And I had to send Calvin to go over there and get him out of the crack house. But he'll come sit down in the chair. And don't you, y'all want to minister? Now, do y'all really want to minister to the world? Love them. When they know everything should be beaten down on them, act like, oh, that's all right. That's all right. We still love. See, that's what Jesus did. When they think the hammer is coming down, say, oh, that's all right. I love you. You want to get deep in the ministry? See, the church, the false church ain't ready for this. I'm talking kingdom. When people think it's all else, you just sit there and say, oh, that's all right, sweetie. That ain't the real you. Come on up in here. We're going to fix it. God's going to help. Your heart's right. You made a few bad decisions, but that's okay. God is with you. Let an environment be conducive to love people unconditionally. But you got to be real, because you got real issues. And don't be surprised when you hear stuff. Oh, Keisha? Shh. Not Holy Ghost Keisha. Not tongue-talking Keisha. See, the false church does that. But if you're really living for God, if you're really living for God, Eric, when you see people fall, you know what you do? You say, Lord, that could have been me. Because the bottom line, too, we all could have been caught in something when God had mercy on us. All of us. I ain't talking about no car accident. I'm talking about something you deliberately did, but God still kept you. You did it, know it was wrong while you were saved, but God kept you. Now, how in the world you got the nerve to see somebody else going through that hierarchy in the church? And then you're going to say, oh, well, this, you know, he was singing on praise and worship. How can Anthony be like that? Why did he do that? I saw him curse somebody out of the gas station. You see? Let me know if he do that, though. Y'all let me know. I deal with him. But I'm just saying, and I'm not saying now leaders, it takes more. I'm talking about just church people. You can't lead people when you don't have a certain level of victory in your life, because you can't expect to help people when you don't have the victory. Just get the victory first. Self-denial helps you. But some of you are not real with yourself. You got issues and you don't want to talk about them. You know, one thing I appreciate about my wife is she'll tell me, you know, baby, I know I ain't been perfect. Just tell me the truth. I could tell her. I could just talk to her. And she will accept me the way I am. I don't have to be concerned she's going to walk out on me or nothing. I could talk crazy. But she'll be there. That's unconditional love. That's the kind of love that we got to have in this church. It can't be nothing else, Carla. We can't have nothing else. We can't have that I'm going to watch you and see what you do type love. I don't care what you do type love is what we want. I'm going to still love you no matter what you do. I don't care where you go. I'm coming down to the crack house and I'm coming to get you. I go down to the jailhouse. I got relatives now. If you go to jail for the first time, I'm coming to get you the first time. I don't care what it is. Why? Because things happen. We need covenant people to cover. Don't you know love covers sin? But how can people grow when they got to be worrying about people judging them all the time? I mean, I don't want that. I'm serious about that. I don't want that. Deny yourself, discipline yourself to talking about people when you separating yourself from people in here. We are all one. Be careful for people to just say, well, this person is like, don't let nobody talk about people in here, even if they right. God said, no, don't say nothing, because you're being right with yourself. You know, it ain't that we perfect, it's that we serve a perfect God. And we're holding on to him. Are you with me? So again, I don't want you to Say, well, how can I get in the kingdom alignment? Self-deny yourself, but you got to be real with yourself. You know, some of y'all got issues with your flesh. You got to work on it. You got to get in control. Where God is going when your flesh is out of control. There's no discipline. Because you're going to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And sometime with God, is you listening to him. And when you get out of the will, it can kill you, man. You got to obey God. This is where we're going. Are you with me? So kingdom alignment is self-discipline. Let me give you one more thing. If you're going to help you to be more disciplined, make goals. Have goals. Most of y'all ain't got goals spiritually. I'm going to be able to pray for 3 hours in tongues by the end of the year. How do you do that? Because each week you're increasing it. See, some of you don't do that. I'm going to pray with my children once a week. That's what I'm going to do to bring the spiritual awareness in my home more. Make goals. We do it naturally, but we don't do it spiritually. You want to be self-disciplined? Because the more your spirit level goes up, there's certain flesh things that you ain't going to want to do. You ain't going to want to do it. And sometimes all you got to do is have a good conversation. All you got to do is start talking spiritual and it kills it. See, you can't walk in the flesh and the spirit at the same time. You can't do it. Romans says that in the 8th chapter. You can't do both of them. But if you'll stay spiritual, sometimes that's why I say when you're listening to the word, it enlarges your thinking and it gives you a greater chance of you thinking spiritual before you think natural. You know, when you can come up with 50-11 things that's wrong with your spouse. But you got to keep thinking. Oh, I got to say, it's something good. You got some nice shoes on. If that's all you can say, that's what you say. Your shoes are nice today. Say something, but make sure you say why, because if you're not building, it ain't going to grow. Are you with me? Y'all understand what I'm saying? How can you do that? You can restrain yourself through self-discipline. My wife will never tell you that I've ever lashed out at her and tell her, you know, shut up. Don't do that. Why? Because self-restraint. Curse her with my own mouth. You stupid. If I tell her she's stupid, and I'm telling myself that. You follow me? So, and I, like I say, you got to restrain yourself because you will curse your own self. The devil will use you with your own children. You telling him that you're the one doing it. You're no good. Well, you keep saying it. Then you won't be. Start speaking it to life. Start small. Anytime you start a conversation critiquing people, always talk good first. You know, well, I really appreciate you being honest. That's all I can say. Then let you have it. You know? But start off building. Because people can take criticism if you'll love them first. Are you with me? So make goals in your life. Stop letting people, you know, tell you to do this. And spiritually, your goals is to just watching TV. If you're going to line yourself up in the kingdom, you got to be self-denying. You got to show forth discipline. And you got to be somebody to set goals. Where are you spiritually? Where am I spiritually? Ask yourself that. You're not spiritual if you don't see natural manifestations. That's why I say with this prayer thing, we've been praying. Don't you know in the Bible, in the book of Acts, I believe it is? Paul, one of them came to the gate while the women were inside praying for him to be delivered from bondage. He comes to the gate to tell them. And they were so religious, they kept praying. Like he wasn't even there. Oh, no, that couldn't be him. How could it not? You praying. What are you praying for? Because people get into a rhythm. Well, I had prayer tonight. Because it becomes a religion where you don't know how to pray and why you're praying. Because prayer is simply speaking what God is saying and having your life agree with it. See, you can pray without thinking. In other words, you can pray out loud. You don't have to just have a ritual, because all I can say right now, all prayers is communicating. I can say, in the name of Jesus, be healed. That's praying. You can pray like that. But then there's different types of prayer, but most of the people think when they get into some, because some people like to pray. Like you like to eat or you like to go out. Some people just like to pray. They don't care about results. Let's just have a prayer meeting on Saturday. Y'all know that. They'll come and they'll, I mean, you go into meetings and you can feel, hallelujah, and they going off and a little power, a little presence be manifesting. But they don't have no direction. See, discipline will say, you know what, all this power up in here, my husband ain't even saved. Lord, let me direct this power here first. But if you ain't self-disciplined, you'll be high in the Holy Ghost thinking you're going somewhere. Only for that man to drag you back down and he didn't embarrass you because he didn't beat you, but you preaching to the nations. Don't you know that's happened? Y'all have seen it with Juanita Bynum. Y'all have seen it with Catherine Coleman. It was the same issue. Don't you know she had to, you know, she would get up and the people would manipulate her so bad that her organist would tell her before she got on live, thousands of people, she would say, if you don't pay me this amount of money, I'm not playing. Why? Because they were manipulative. Sometimes you have to be able to self-discipline yourself or you're not going to be worth nothing. And I don't want us to be religious. You're doing something for something. And you ought to see results in your life in the kingdom. Are you with me? If there's no results, you have to come back to the drawing board. Your life ought to be changing. Ain't nobody staying the same just to say we got a church. And natural progression, things grow. But it's how it grows. Because wicked means it can grow warped. It grows, but it's warped. It's how it grows. We don't want just people. We want the right kind of people. We want sons and daughters that will have the heart of what's inside of me so we can go to the nations. We just don't want people coming who's gifted and talented. See, in the kingdom, self-discipline is something we got to practice. Fasting. Prayer. I remember in college, Marilyn Hickey used to pray every Monday. I just remember that. Y'all remember Marilyn Hickey? I don't know if she come on TV anymore. She does? Oh, yeah, well, her and Sarah Bowling, I used to watch them all the time. And she used to pray every Monday. Fast. But that's what some of us need to do. Whatever God's speaking to you, to keep yourself in self-discipline. When you get on the phone with people, you know why you can cut people off? Because you're disciplined. You ain't got time to just be blabbing, man. What's going on? How you doing? Yeah, well, everything going pretty good. Yeah, don't start talking about nobody now, because I don't want to hear that. Don't call. Listen, I tell you what, man, just don't call me no more. Let me call you. See, some of y'all might think that's rude. But when that poison get in your life and you can't function in the kingdom and you're trying to pray it out and you can't find it where it's at, then you're trying to change the doctrine of Christ for your own doctrine. It comes through that because you don't have enough guts to just cut off stuff. You want to be nice, and you know, like I say, you go ahead, but that's going to stop you. If pollution comes because people put seeds of doubt, and you be thinking you strong enough. You think that, and you have to do away with that. Are you with me? And you have to be able to allow people to be in your life. You know, I was telling Carla today that we got to have people around us who are strong. You can't have everybody speaking into your life. You can't let people have that honor to speak into your life and they ain't doing nothing for you. Or they just throwing something at you. I understand why you want for the house. I will come. You know? You see, because you don't want that. You don't want people just talking like, man, you don't know what I'm doing here. Are you feeling this? But sometimes when you got people around, they don't know your best interest. They'll ruin your life. And let me tell you something. It's okay to shut people down like that, even when they write. Because I was explaining the car. I said, when you talk to people, and this is me. If I talk to people about certain things, my spirit get open. I have no restraint, so I don't talk about certain things. I don't open myself up about what God is anybody and all that. I can't do that. Because it's hard to, you can't restrain your spirit. Say, God is not saying what he's doing. Tangled up in me. The church, my family, all that is in one. So I don't open up like that. I could be sitting with pastors and I say, well, God is blessed. Just chit chat. But I'm not talking about the things of God. I don't do that. But some of you go around and you just open up. You can't do that. I don't care who it is. Why? Because before you know it, you just spazzing all over the place. And they just sitting there, though they don't even speak in tongues, but your whole world is out. And you feel like you done emptied yourself with people who don't even know you. They don't value what you said. Then it hurts your feelings when they don't respond to the jewels that you've given them. Because you open your spirit up. Close it. Don't let everybody do that. You know, I could be with people, I don't care who they are. I don't be talking to people like that. How you doing? Good to see you, but do whatever you want to do. You know? Well, where's your church? In Somerville. And the first thing I do is, where's your church at? Let's talk about you. Why? Because I ain't opening up for some dead wood for y'all to be looking at me like, what? God, you can't do this. This is Charleston. You know, I remember going to Anthony Grandma's funeral. I mean, that was the worst. It's like them preachers were dead in there. We should have laid them in the casket. Sitting in the back. And I mean, they were just dead. Just talking about, you know, one pastor walking there. Oh, look at the bishop. You know, they just playing around with everything. And then one guy said, oh, we got the doctor with us today. These are grown men just playing around. And then they get up there and sitting on. I mean, I sat on that pulpit. Not the last time I want to do that. Where they just sitting there and just look like, the Lord didn't say they need to catch on fire. He showed me they were dead. They weren't nothing. They were nothing on there. Burying the lady that's going to heaven, they just sitting there like, with their legs crossed, with their socks and them old suits. And they just sitting there like, I'm thinking like, arise. The spirit life is gone. But if I don't show self-restraint, then I'll be getting up there. Can you imagine me getting up there? Now, I'm not the preacher because of the way I feel. See, there had to be self-restraint called because I wanted to get up there, and I wanted the first thing I would have did is not this, is turn here and preach to them. I wouldn't even deal with them because the people would come along. But self-restraint, that's not your place. I didn't call you to do that. Let the dead bury the dead. I didn't call you to do that. Who do you think you are to do that? See, you're doing all that, but self-restraint brings you in order. This is the kingdom. The king is in charge. I may have feelings, but the king is in charge. That's what self-restraint will do. And sometimes you don't need to even verbally talk about certain things. I didn't tell those guys that. You know, we were walking out. I don't know if Kelvin was with me. I think he wasn't. We were walking out the thing, and he says, one guy said, oh, I hear you on the radio. And another pastor was coming by and said, oh, well, you're on the radio. Which station? I say, the gospel station. How you doing, though? Why? Because you let the dead bury the dead. Self-discipline. Stop trying. You know, anytime you share something about somebody and you do it, in anger, it ain't no good. So it ain't no good. You can sit there and think you're doing it right, but it ain't no good. You got to wait. You're married, you get the ice cream, whatever she wants. Then you let her have it. Go off. Baby, let's go for a walk. Cheesecake, that's good. Come on, let's go for a walk, baby. And you know I love you, right? Baby, I'm trying to get this kingdom going. You got to stop doing this, man. You got to do it like that. Same thing, vice versa, spouse. You know you're a mighty man of God. Make them feel good. You've been leading our family, and I appreciate that, baby. You're a real man of God. But you think you can pick up your clothes and You think the Lord can help you pick these clothes up with all that power you got? Because I'm really tired of doing it, you know. Let's stand to our feet. I'll die. Thank you. Help us. Help us to be stronger, Lord God. Help us to be more accurate with you as we align ourselves to your kingdom. Lord, we want to be like you. We want your kingdom to be here on earth as it is in heaven. And Father, we say, let it happen now through our lives. And Father, we declare it. We believe it. We trust you, Lord God. We thank you for legacy with our children. Lord, you give us wisdom to raise them in the ammunition of the Lord, that even when you take us on home, Lord God, they can begin to carry out where we left off, Lord God, giving you more and more glory. Help us, Lord God. And Father, we thank you. Forgive us for our sins, Lord God. Forgive us for allowing our flesh to get out of control and to not be disciplined in certain areas, not holding our mouths if we're married and just going off on each other. Forgive us for going off on the children and the children going off on the parents. Forgive us for allowing our flesh to just run wild. When we, Lord God, it's about you. It's not about us, Lord God. It's about you. Help us to be stronger. And Father, we thank you for allowing these things to happen to us, that we may grow in you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.